listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hot dog, I'm excited to be here today. I've got this beautiful background, if you're watching, and I picked it on purpose. Obviously, it's not a real fire because the fire's not moving, but it's a beautiful background, and it looks just about like outside. I live up here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and it's snow, and there's snow on the ground now, and there has been for a month or so, and it'll be there till the end of April, you know, more and less, you know, a lot or a little. It's supposed to snow another 6 or 7 inches tomorrow, so we're having an already whiter Christmas. It's beautiful. Cold, though. Cold. Minus 20 to minus 25 centigrade, 0 to minus 5 or Fahrenheit, so pretty cold outside. Today, I want to talk with you about something really important. You know, I was on a podcast episode earlier today for someone else's show, not my podcast. And the focus of that podcast, to start with, was about living a bold life. Bold life. But how he started it and what he wanted to talk about was the story. And so he said, you know, he asked me to, quote, tell my story. And what he meant by that was I call it the story of your own becoming, or I call it your developmental story. Now, if you think about how you are right now, what you believe, what you do, what your work is, how happy you are, how satisfied life feels to you, all that kind of stuff, you've gotten where you are coming through a developmental journey. Like, you weren't born in this situation. So if a person goes to school, part of the developmental journey is at the end of school, they'd know something. They have a degree or they have a skill. If you go to trade school, you have a skill. You can weld. You're a mechanic of some kind. You're a craftsman, tradesman of some kind. That's a piece of developmental journey. Well, the developmental journey of your life is the collection of good things and bad things. And good and bad, of course, is relative and subjective. But it's the effect, the collective effect of all the stuff that's happened to you. Now, one of the things that's happening right now in the United States, and now, you know, I live in Canada, but Joy and I are both dual nationals, so we pay attention to what's going on down there. There's a story going on down there, a story about good guys and bad guys and politics and so forth. But you know what I notice? I just took a trip to New Orleans and to speak at an event about, 3 weeks ago this coming weekend. And so I was down there for 4 days, and I didn't see one single thing, you know, in my walk of life. Now, granted, I was just in a certain area, several blocks in the city center. We stayed at a hotel, and there was an event a little ways away, a few blocks away, and we went out each night as a group for some dinner and, you know, that kind of thing. So in all that area, and it was right downtown, I didn't see one single thing that suggested all the drama that is being talked about. But if you watch the news, any channel, doesn't matter, oh, you'd think that there was just explosive drama everywhere all the time, and you're threatened no matter what you're doing, or, you know. And I think that happens because there's this constant story of upheaval. So someone watching the news would think, wow, the U.S. is in total upheaval all the time, and it's not. There are some areas and certain things that happen, but, you know, if you watch the news for a week, you see the same stories over and over and over and over again. Doesn't matter what the channel is. The spin's different, but the stories are the same. And once in a while, they'll add in a new story because something new happened. But the same stories get rehashed, right? I just watched one of the news channels this afternoon, and there were several times talking about the travel delays. Over and over again, this show, and then in an hour later, somebody else's show, or 2 hours later, same diagrams and same things. So all that stuff gets rehashed. But that isn't what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about your most valuable possession. Now, it's just about Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely adore Christmas. I love it. I love what it means. I love the birth of Christ. I love the meaning that that brings into my life. And I'm not trying to convince anybody to do anything. Every person needs to worship or not worship, whatever they choose, any way they choose to see it. But for me, Christmas, the birth of Christ, the shepherds, the wise men, the star, the meaning of the Savior of the world. That's just off the charts important, and I love every minute of it. But that isn't what I'm going to talk about today either, even though I've got this beautiful Christmas background, and it's snow outside just like real life. That view looks like it could be right out my kitchen window. What I want to talk about is the power of your story. You have a developmental story. Now, when I was younger, as a dad, I had kids that were little, 2, 3, 5, 8, 10. You know, I have 10 kids, so there were times when there were quite a range and quite a number of them. There was a time when once a year we would go camping. And I don't know if I ever took all 10 of them at the same time to this campground, but for 10 years in a row, there was a time in the year when I took them, all the kids that were there, camping. And I certainly remember that there were 6 of them, at least, and 7 sometimes, when I did this camping trip. And one of the things that used to be fun is at night, we stayed in these kind of open cabins. They weren't really cabins. They were open cabins, and they had bunks in them and stuff, and so it was nice. And, of course, we needed one of the large ones because we had 7 kids or 6 kids. So a lot of bunks and stuff. But one of the things the kids used to love to have me do was to tell them stories. Now, I didn't have storybooks, and I didn't take them there, so I made stuff up. And I didn't realize when I first made up, I had a story about King Richard and Wicked Wizard Waldo and all kinds of crazy stuff. And yeah, I used the funny W's on purpose. And I was very dramatic and told stories like you do, right? And years later, 5 years, 10 years, they would remind me, remember the story about King Richard and Wicked Wizard Waldo and all the different things? And I was astounded at how well they remembered the stories that I made up. And, of course, they were long sagas, you know, about kingdoms and good guys and bad guys and magic and quests and all that sort of stuff. And I made it up as I went along, and it might go on for an hour or longer until they would fall asleep. And maybe the next night I'd pick it up right where I left off. And, you know, if you want, endless story time. Right? You can just keep on going. The reason that's so important is, as I think about it, besides being a precious memory with kids, it is such an illustration of the power of story. Now, the Christmas story, the story of, you know, Jesus born in a stable and wise men and shepherds and, you know, King Herod killed all the kids and all kinds of crazy stuff, good guys, bad guys. We know that story too. So this show is designed to help you create your ultimate life. Now, podcast I was referring to earlier, he was about living boldly, but he wanted to start with my story. And what he meant was, and what I told on the show was my developmental story, meaning the collection of things that have happened in my life that have shaped me to bring me to where I am today. So if you ask yourself, where are you today? I'm not talking about where you live. I'm in Edmonton, Alberta. I'm not talking about, you know, your status of health. I'm 70 years old, pretty healthy. I use a cane, I limp a little. Okay, life's pretty good. I'm not talking about that. The story of our becoming or development talks about who we are inside. So you may be a person who is just in love with life. You may view every single day as a precious treasure. You may be that you can't wait to get up in the morning and lean into a new beautiful day. That might be you. So the question about your story is, what is the journey of your life that brought you to the place where that's how you view the day? That's a really powerful story, and I would argue, in fact, I know for sure, I wouldn't even argue, the most important thing that you or I have, it's not our gold, it's not our silver, it's not our bank account or Bitcoin or house or, you know, beautiful pictures and fireplaces. It is the story of your own becoming or the story of your own development. Now, that thing, I want you to think about that. Why would that be true? Well, we're going to explore that today, why that's true, and not only why it's true, but what to do with it. You heard grandpa tells a story about building the house or some ancient thing. It's, to us as little kids, feel ancient. It might only have been 50 years ago, but it feels like a long time ago. I remember my grandpa. He was born in 1895. Think about that, right? 1895. The fact that that was 18 anything was like, wow, a billion years ago. And so the things he talked about were interesting. The story of our becoming is the sequence or series of choices that we've made to become who we are. Maybe you're a bitter, angry person. I talked about someone who's loving and can't wait to get up in the day. I've known people who were bitter and angry. You might too. Maybe you are. I hope not. And maybe the developmental story is you've had enough people cheat you or leave you or betray you or hurt you. Maybe you've had enough haphazard things happen, a flood, a fire, you know, the tax man takes away your stuff, bankruptcy, illness. You've had enough things happen that you have become a bitter, angry person. So the story of your becoming is the sequence of events that brought you there. What I notice in the coaching world and in the world of helping people live that ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy, is this. When bad things happen, and I'm going to use bad in quotes because that's all relative, when bad things happen, they can either turn us into a bitter old grump, or they can turn us into an experienced, kind, patient person. How is it that the same event can turn someone bitter and angry or make them patient and loving? Well, it's all in how I choose to have to experience that event. I want you to think about it. The event is just the event. My house burns down. In fact, I have a friend that this is true. His house did burn down in that big California fire they had about a year ago. Burned down to the ground, along with a whole bunch of others in that one of those areas in California. That could have made him bitter and frustrated and negative. Instead, it's created a new opportunity for him. He is hopeful, upbeat, powerful, and he works in leadership training and so forth. But he's chosen to have that event strengthen his relationships, strengthen his bond with his wife, become a more patient and powerful coach, leadership coach and trainer. And so he chose to have that event do that in his life. And so when I say it all the time, you create your life, you do. You literally create your life, not because you control the snow falling in the picture here, or the weather, or the fact that your house does or doesn't burn down. You may not control that at all. But you control your life by how you choose to see those things. And I used to get mad when people said that, because I used to say, my house freaking burned down. How can I see that as anything other than pain, desperate struggle, failure, and, you know, angry? Well, I'll answer that question. I had the chance to talk to somebody yesterday, and this was not a podcast for me or him. It was just someone that I was visiting with. And he described to me very recent events in 23 and 24 that were very difficult for him, like maybe existentially difficult, depression, struggle, failure, you know, big things that happened to him. And I'm not going to talk about what they are because it doesn't matter, but they were that. And he was not bitter. He was just telling me this stuff. So I asked him, I said, well, play with me for a minute. And I said, tell me what good things, what fabulous things, what amazing things have come out of that set of events. And he thought for a minute and he said, you know, if that hadn't happened, then I wouldn't have created this and I wouldn't be here now talking to you and this wouldn't have happened and this. And he listed very quickly five things that were not trivial, but that were important to him today that came out of that catastrophe, or what could have been a catastrophe. So he created wealth, power, joy, freedom, impact out of that catastrophe. He could just as easily have created despair, bitterness, rage, you know, that kind of feeling. So that's what it means to create your life. the stuff around you is going to happen no matter what. I don't care. It's going to happen. Crap happens, right? We know that. What decides the experience of our life is what we do with it. All right, so you know that now. You may or may not like it. You may choose not to believe it, but it's still true. So here, let's talk about how to turn your story into something powerful. The first thing that has to happen for your developmental story, that's the set of things that have happened to you that have brought you where you are. If that's going to turn you into a powerhouse, that's what you have to choose. That means that you or I, we got to frame all those events, even the negative ones, especially the negative ones. We have to frame them with the question, what good came out of this? What is the gift here? What is the growth opportunity? And be serious about it. Not as a distraction, not as a, you know, just a stupid thing to say, but really ask that question. So there's an example I have in the end of 2018 in December. You guys remember probably in 2018 is the year I died in June. And I recovered. You know, they restarted my heart and I recovered. There's a whole story about that. But later in that year in December, I woke up one morning paralyzed from the waist down. My legs didn't work at all and I was in a lot of pain. And the story of that isn't what we're going to tell right now, but it was a big deal. I had to go in the hospital, to the hospital in the ambulance and, you know, ooh la la. And in the back of the ambulance, I remember specifically making a choice consciously to ask, what is the gift here? So that was a choice I made because I chose to frame that as a positive growth opportunity. So that's what it means to create your life. Now, when I say story, I'm going to say most people, and I'm talking to you individually, most people don't claim their story. Yes, they have a bunch of things. You have a bunch of things happen to you, but you don't claim it and frame it as your developmental story. But the truth is, all of those events shape you. And as I told my story on this podcast, and it was an hour show, so I had a good bit of time to tell the story. I talked about events that happened to me that could be negative, and I at the time they were negative, and they left me in a very negative place. And I talked about how later I chose to reframe them to create them positively. That's what we talked about to start with. But most people don't claim their story. Now, if you're listening to a show called Your Ultimate Life, How to Create Purpose, Prosperity, and Joy, then you're interested in personal development. You're interested in growth. You're interested in making the most out of yourself, your life, your circumstances, and lifting and blessing those around you. You probably wouldn't be here. So I want to talk to you about your story. You have a story. That's principle number one. Number two, your story matters. And by that, I mean it will make your story might be someone else's salvation. Your story might be someone else's lifeline. Okay, and how that works is if you think about, and usually when people don't claim their story, then their life's just a bunch of random events and they haven't really thought about how all those events work together. And I always draw this arc because I'm thinking about a rainbow, right? How all these stories draw an arc that make us who we are. And so what we're talking about is the real truth of how you became who you are, what you think, how you act, what you believe, how you treat people, how you treat yourself, all of that kind of stuff. And so most people live inside the story they've never consciously authored. In other words, crap happens to you and it shapes you because you can't help it, but you haven't chosen on purpose how to author that story. So for example, when I was on the way to the hospital, with, you know, paralyzed, I could have just been mad or frustrated or scared, wondering what the heck, because 6 months earlier I'd already died. And I'm thinking, that wasn't enough. You know, I could have not participated. Instead, I shaped the story. What's the gift here? All right. So here's what I want you to think about. Being your story is fundamentally what makes you a human. Like, think about a dog. I love dogs. We have a dog. We have one now. We've had two before. We have one right now, Australian Shepherd, about, 8 years old, okay? So, you know, well into adulthood, The dog doesn't remember its developmental story. We talk about when it was a little tiny puppy, we got it at 8 weeks, and how it's grown, and et cetera, et cetera. So we have a developmental story around the dog, and it means something to us, but the dog doesn't have a developmental story. So your story of development becomes uniquely yours. You know, one of the things that we see on things like the Olympics, now the World Cup's coming up in North America and the U.S. and Canada, and I think Mexico in 26, so next year. And the Olympics, you know, are not too long. I can't remember. When is the next one? I think they're next year, too. I have to look, so don't quote me on that. When the Olympics come on, or the World Cup, they tell stories about individual players. I remember thinking about that when I was talking about story today with that guy in the podcast. And last Winter Olympics, there was a story about a woman who I think was doing the skeleton, which is one of these face-down things on these tiny, narrow sleds, and you're traveling at 100 billion miles an hour, and if you crash, you break you up in little pieces. That's what it looks like to me, the uninitiated and uninformed. But the story was way more interesting. The story was about this woman who was married and had kids and had tried before and hadn't placed or whatever, getting up at, I don't know, ungodly hours, oh, dark 30, 3 or 4 in the morning, and practicing and doing all these runs. And that story is fascinating. And then, of course, you know, then they put those places in the broadcast right when the events are. And this year, I think she won the silver medal. So what a story. Her developmental story for that incident and that event. Another time, the Winter Olympics before that, so that would have been just maybe 6 or so years ago. I don't know, years ago. It was a snowboard story about a guy who was doing, I think he was a half pipe guy. And he had been snowboarding and crashed into a tree, like hard, and was disabled and was assumed he'd never barely walk again and certainly never snowboard again and certainly never do competitions and even more certainly ever be good enough to go back to the Olympics. Well, here he was back. And the story was about the rehab and his persistence and insistence. He's going to do this. And there he is. He won a medal. I think it was a silver medal again in that event. So those are the stories that move us. We make movies out of them. We write books about them. We have television programs about them. And guess what? You are one. Now, they may never make a program about you or me or your life or my life, or they may. But I can make you a solemn and sacred and holy promise that the story of your becoming, the choices that you've made to become who you are, can easily be someone else's lifeline, example, and salvation. So your story is precious, and I want you to understand that. I want you to own that. And I want you to sit with me in that truth for a minute. Because most people do not own their story. They don't even look at their life development enough to see what the story is. And you're leaving your most precious asset on the table. I don't care how many millions of dollars or even billions you have in Bitcoin or money or investments or real estate. Your most precious asset is the story of your own development. All right. So here's what happens when your story is unclaimed. You bash through life being buffeted or knocked around by external events. This happens, so you feel that way. That happens, so you feel that way. Somebody does this, so you're mad at them for a week or a month or a year or the rest of your life. And you don't claim a direction. You respond simply to events. You know, you react to people and circumstances instead of making a conscious choice and writing the story of your life. The same events will be there, but your navigation of that story will be completely different. So if you don't claim your story, if you don't examine your life and claim it, you're going to drift without direction. A second thing that happens that I see all the time is people minimize their experiences. I haven't had anything happen to me. That's no big deal. One of the things I love most of all is to help people identify and write their story. Now, I'm going to give you a URL. It's Dream Build Write It. Dream Build Write, like writing, dreambuildwriteit.com. Go there. Sign up for the book challenge. It's going to be the most profound experience you've had because it's going to help you uncover your story. Now, when I talk to people in that challenge, and when I talk to people just all the time, I set up my day to talk to new people every week, sometimes every day. So I meet lots of new people, and it's fun, and I love it. And one of the things I ask them, just like the guy asked me on the show today, is tell me your story. How did you get here? Especially like podcast hosts or guests. You know, I ask them what they do in the world, and they tell me their big ambition. They want to end homelessness or end that's not even a joke. I have a guy whose whole business is building these modular 3D printable homes, and he's amazing, and he is doing a big service in that because they're less expensive, and he can print them and all kinds of good stuff. So the cool thing for me is not just to ask, okay, what do you do? Oh, I do that. Oh, that's cool. The follow-up is, for me, interesting because I always follow up with, how did you get there? What happened in your life that brought you to the place where this crusade is what you own, where this is the thing you lay your heart in, right? I have a friend that I did interview on a podcast, and I was on his in Australia, and most recently, I mentioned this the other day on a show, I think, most recently in Australia, there was a law passed that, you know, prohibits social media for kids under 16. Now, I don't know all the particulars and what's exactly prohibited and all that stuff. What I know is I know how come that law got passed. I know the dude who caused it to get passed. And I know the story of his daughter and how she ended her life because of social media. And that was the genesis for him deciding that was his crusade. And he was so heartbroken and felt like he didn't know and couldn't do anything about it, et cetera, that was his crusade and he got it done. And now there's a law in Australia to do that. And then there was conversation in the U.S. And I don't know about Canada, but I saw some news clips about the U.S. talking about that thing. But my point is, his life story became about that. Because it became his passion because of his daughter. So when people have a passion, if I get a chance to talk to you, you know, one of the things I want to know above everything else is, what's your passion and how did you get there? What are you absolutely committed to create in your life and how did you get there? What is it that made that important in your heart? So here's a commercial. Not really, because it's me giving a commercial. I love interviewing people. Now, today that, excuse me, this is a solo episode, but I want to invite you to get a hold of me, okay? This is KellenFlukigerMedia.com, KellenFlukigerMedia.com. I invite you to go there and use the contact form and reach out to me. If you have a story of your own becoming, the story of your development, a story about your passion, a story about how you're making a difference in the world, I want to interview you. I want to know it. I want to support you. I want to spread your message. I want to be a leverage point for your work. That's one of the things I love most about this show, about helping people write their books and create products. So another thing that happens when we don't claim our story besides drifting and minimizing our experience, we repeat patterns without understanding why. If we don't take a look, I was coaching a client this morning, and we were talking about patterns that they repeatedly do. And then we were able to dig in, well, why do you think that is? Why do you think that is your natural reaction or the view you have? I mean, you could think this. Somebody else might think that. They said, yeah, they could. Why is this yours? And that leads to the story. What are the things that happened? Okay. Now, another thing that happens is people minimize that and they say, I don't have anything. My story isn't very good. My becoming is nothing. I haven't become anything. I have never met a person, not one, where we didn't talk for a little while. And I'm saying to them, that's amazing. How are you using that experience? How are you using the choices you made and what you've become? And that sometimes is the first time in their lives they've thought about that. So I invite you to understand you do have a story. It matters. It might be somebody's lifeline. And I invite you to dig into your life development story. If you want to create your ultimate life, use your story to serve. Use your story of your development to lift and bless others. Now, if you want help doing that, there's a book I wrote called The Story Arc. Not surprisingly, The Story Arc. One of the tools in there is called the Developmental Story Matrix, and it will help you like nothing else I've ever seen. That's why I wrote the book, because it doesn't exist in terms of helping people find the stories that matter to them and turn them into power that can serve and make money, get well paid. I have lots of authors that I've helped create businesses, significant businesses, guess what? From their life story. Workshops, retreats, year-long masterminds, coaching programs, passive income, all kinds of stuff. And people say, I need to make more money. You're sitting on a gold mine. You're sitting on a gold mine and minimizing its value. All right, so now let's talk about, we talk about what, if you don't claim your story, what happens? Let's talk about what happens when you do. When you go back and look at the events of your life and how they contributed to the attitudes, feelings, beliefs, you know, that you have today, who you are, how you show up in the world, you get very clear coherence. It becomes really easy to understand how you got shaped the way you did. Now, in doing that, people often discover, you know what, I don't like the way that these events in my past shaped me. I'll give you an example that's easy to understand. People come and they say, I don't like to speak. I'm scared of speaking. It'll, you know, sometimes people say public speaking's greatest fear. I don't know about that. It never has been for me, but let's say that it is. So then the question is, what's happened that makes that true for you? And then they list, well, I was embarrassed in school. I screwed up this presentation. All the kids laughed at my diorama. You know, I got up and tried to speak and forgot everything. I was in a play and forgot all my lines, whatever it is, right? That's fine. That's where you are today, and that was a series of events. So then the question becomes, do you want to stay there? Because we're not denying that those things happened, and we're not denying that they felt embarrassing at the moment, but they're not happening now. And just because you couldn't remember something then doesn't mean that that will happen again. Right? Every time we fail, it's just a learning opportunity. I call it an IDP, interesting data point. It doesn't mean anything except, again, what we make it mean. So we forget our lines in a play. That means I'm stupid, I can't memorize anything, and I'll never do that again. Nah, not unless you let it. Why would we let our lives be shaped so dramatically by a series of events, even if they were hard? Okay, so you get emotional coherence. Another thing is it will end all the second guessing. If you own your developmental story, even if it's brought you to places you don't like, it will end the second guessing because you will then immediately realize if you learned this behavior, this attitude, or this opinion, you can learn a new one. You're not born afraid to speak in that example. You're not born shy. That's a learned behavior, and you can learn a new one. And there are sets of actions and behaviors you or I can intentionally take to learn any skill. And that's the beauty of your story, because then it's augmented. Your story was, these things happened. It brought me to being shy and hating networking and not wanting to talk to people and make cold calls or da-da-da-da-da. And then I realized that. And I took this set of action steps and practiced a new belief, and now I speak easily. Now I command crowds. Now I get paid to speak. Now I make calls all over the place, and I'm a great salesperson. So that becomes the story of your becoming. The story of your becoming doesn't end when you had a series of things happen that brought you to a place you don't like. Just by examining it, you can identify, ooh, I suck here. I'm afraid of that. Okay, fine. That's where you are today. What about tomorrow? What about next week, next month, next year? That's what this whole development game is about. You get to choose where you live. Like, I live in Edmonton. It's cold. If I really didn't want to live here, I could go somewhere else. You know, you can complain about the heat or the cold or the humidity or whatever. And if it was really important to you, you could go somewhere else. So the truth is you create your life. And one of the most important things about that creation is to own the story. And it doesn't matter where it's led you up to now. It doesn't matter if you look at your story and you say, you know what, I'm perpetually late, I make excuses all the time, and I never deliver things on time. That might be true right now. It's not a personality trait, it's a learned habit. You can redo or extend the story because the pen's still in your hand. You're not dead. And you can say, I'm going to create a new story, or I'm going to change the story. The story is I got here and I have these habits. Now I'm going to do some new stuff and have a new habit. Now I'm the most punctual, on-time person there ever was, and I never miss anything. That is now where you are, and the story goes on from there. One of the things I discovered about writing, I wrote a book called Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. And it detailed my first 52 years about stuff that happened in my childhood and all kinds of stuff. I've told the stories before. Not going to rehash them here, but it left me doubting myself, hating myself, self-sabotaging, struggling with depression for decades, clinical, severe MDD, major depressive disorder, for a long time. And I didn't do anything about it because in those days you didn't talk about it and, you know, suck it up, that kind of stuff, especially if you were a man. And then when I took control of my story, I looked at the events, I looked at where I'd been, and then I got some help, and I said, hey, here's where I am right now with this set of behaviors and this set of things that have happened, but I don't want to stay here. I don't like the outcome of where the story is today, chapter 52. So here I am right now in chapter 70. I just turned 70. And my story isn't that at all anymore. I can fiercely say to you, I love you. I am not struggling with any of those things anymore. I write freely. I speak freely. And so that's an extension of the story because I took a hold of it. Another thing that it does when you do the research and own your story is it gives you a sense of authority. Now, you've been in places with people where someone is talking, and I don't mean they're being arrogant or bossy, but they simply have a sense of grounded authority. When they talk, people listen. They have that energy. That comes from owning your story. That comes from being clear about where you've been, what happened, what you've chosen today, and how you're being in the world now. That sense of authority comes purely from authenticity, from owning your life, the good parts and the bad parts, the parts you wish you hadn't done, and the choices you made to fix them. That ownership is that sense of power. When someone is completely comfortable in their skin, that means they have owned and acknowledged all the history. They have fixed what needed to be fixed and are clear about their moral compass, about what they stand for, about who they are, about how they behave, about how they treat others, about how they add good to the world. All that stuff is what gives you that sense of moral authority. So if you want to be able to command a room, speaking, or at business, at work, if you want to be viewed as someone who is clear, grounded, listen to, own your story, study it, discover it. And if you find, wow, this past stuff has brought me to a place where I'm fearful, I don't speak up for myself, I'm a doormat, that's okay. That is where those experiences have brought you. And then the next thing is, what do I need to do to write the next chapter? Because I want the next chapter to be on the way to greatness. And I want the one after that to be owning the room. I want the one after that to be owning my life, being in control of how I show up in the world. So leaving your story unexamined is a, you're leaving millions of dollars on the table. You're leaving peace and prosperity on the table. Owning your story and then making choices about what you do with it is the way to power, purpose, prosperity, and joy. All right, so another thing that I hear a lot, and it makes me cringe every time I hear it, is my life is ordinary. Nothing interesting even happened. I got nothing. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I would be richer than I am. I would have another $1 million. It's not true. My life was ordinary is not true, ever. I've had lots of people tell me that, and as you can tell, I ask lots of questions. Tell me your story. Tell me what happened. What do you believe? What's important to you? What do you love? What do you hate? Why? How did you get there? What are you about in the world? What do you wish you could fix? What do you wish you could create? Here we are at the new year, 2026. What's that about? I can't even tell you how many people I've asked that to, and it's, you know, that's next year, and it happens every year. And so when people answer those questions, you learn all about them. And then you learn the story that brought them here. And when I do that, people often say, I start talking about story just like this. Oh, my life is ordinary. I had good parents. I grew up in a nice place. It was all okay. Now, my precious angel, holy wife, Joy, is like that. She was raised with good parents in a good home. She was encouraged. She did lots of good stuff. She learned, took tennis lessons and skated and taught skating and, you know, went on her own young. She went to Disney World to work for, you know, from Canada there in the Canadian Pavilion and just did all and traveled on her own to Europe and did all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there were no traumas, emotional traumas. She did have open heart surgery when she was 10. She had a hole in her heart or some congenital defect that she was born with that had to get operated on and fixed. So she has that story, and she remembers things from that and how she had to, I think she was 10 or so, and she had to stay in bed for X amount of time and remember something about the operations. But she was raised in a fabulous place, so she could say easily, my life is flipping ordinary. I got nothing. And yet when you listen to her talk about what all the things that she's pursued, she's learned how to do silk painting, and she learned about European architecture and art and on and on and on, as a degree designer and did computer programming, just all kinds of stuff. And you say to yourself, that woman's got a story. And she does. And so it isn't only trauma-informed events. It isn't just the relentless persecution and pain that creates your story. We tend to remember those events more vividly. We tend to downplay the others. But the idea that your life is ordinary is a complete misunderstanding. Okay? Ordinary experiences, when you live them consciously, they create rare wisdom. Rare wisdom. Byron Katie, who's a favorite author of mine, and she helps people with living their life. You can look her up, Byronkatie. Byron Katie, she has a book called Loving What Is. One of the things that she suggests that you do is take a walk of discovery, and empty your mind and look at every single thing you see, a snowflake, the snowy trees, the fireplace, like you've never seen it before, like you don't know the name, like you don't know what it is, what it does, or what it means. And just look at it and be there with it. It creates such a sense of wonder, a sense of openness, a sense of discovery. And you learn things about plain old stuff in the woods and in the yard that you never thought about. Lay down in the grass, not in the snow right now, but when it's grassy and warm. And, you know, on the side of your head, I don't know if you've done, probably have, where your eyes down below the level of the grass and you just look at the grass stems, the green ones and the brown ones and little bugs that might be in there. And don't think anything, just look at them. If you look at your life like that, Every event is extraordinary. The fact that you breathe is extraordinary. The fact that you're listening to this today with me is extraordinary. So every single thing is beautiful. So many people, Eckhart Tolle talks about the power of now, being here in the present. Like when I'm here with you on this show, I'm looking into this camera right up here, but I feel like I'm in your living room. I'm looking at you and loving you and hoping with all my heart that you feel the value of your life, your story, your being, the choices you make. It matters. Your story matters 100 times more than you think. You can write a book. You can make more money if you want to. If you want to. Like your story can be worth millions. You don't know until you explore it. So again, I'd invite you to get a hold of me, KellenFlukigerMedia.com, contact form. Let's talk about your story. Maybe it should be a book. Maybe it should be a program. Maybe it should be something that you use intentionally instead of accidentally. What happens when you start examining your story is something called a through line. A through line. Now, I was talking to a client the other day, and they're preparing to give a TED Talk. Okay, and they were talking about the different elements of the TED Talk, you know, the premise and the they named three elements and they've slipped my mind right now. But they said, you know, they've got to be a through line. There's a through line all the way through. You have a through line in your life. Let me give you an example. My through line is I believed I wasn't good enough, but I still kept trying. I built success, even though I sabotaged it. I built it again, even though I sabotaged it. A through line for me is I don't quit. A through line for me is I keep trying. A through line for me is I'm not going to let somebody else decide when I give up. Now, there were dark times and all that, and we've talked about those before. But a through line for me is I don't quit. I'm not going to quit. I might slow down, I might rest, whatever, but I'm not going to quit. So I'd like you to look in your story to your through line, and I really urge you to get this book, The Story Arc, not because I'm trying to sell more books, but because the developmental story matrix, I promise, will change the relationship you have with how you grew up, the story of your life, what you're worth, how you matter, and how you can add good to the world. I promise that. No question. Now, I have two invitations for you. Number one is if you have a story you'd like to tell, I said this earlier, I want to get a hold of you. I want you to get a hold of me, contact form on Kellen Flukiger Media. I want to share your story. I want to understand what happened, how it shaped you, and how you're using it to add good to the world and create your ultimate life, which is what we're all about here. I want to do that. So I invite you to reach out to me and let me hear your story. Let me revel with you in your growth and your choices, because I know they're amazing. I've never met a person where that's not true. That's one. The second thing is if you have asked the question or been told, I should write a book. You know, you should write a book. You're amazing. Okay? I want you to get a hold of me too, because I have something special for you. In February, we're going to have the 5-day book challenge. Dream it, build it, write it. And the URL is dreambuildwriteit.com. Go there right now, dreambuildwriteit.com. Register, it's free. And it's an hour a day for 5 days. It will change your life. It will awaken beauty and power in you can't imagine right now. Because you have a story you're not using. You have a story that you haven't turned into a magic wand. It's almost like a magic wand. You know, we've decided here at Christmas time, we're going to watch the Harry Potter movies again. I'm not sure what they have to do with Christmas, but they seem to come up this year, every year about this time. Your story matters, and you can choose not to use it. But I'm inviting you seriously to consider that, because it's the greatest gift you have. The greatest gift you have to the world isn't your wealth, isn't your genius. It's the story of your own becoming. Now, next episode, next week, what we're going to talk about is how that is true, because I say it's the most powerful gift you have. It's more important than your skills. You may have learned to be an engineer. You may be an architect. You may be a doctor. You may be a crack attorney. You may be rocket scientist. Your story is more valuable than your skills. It's a more important contribution to the world and to life. That's what we're going to talk about next time. How important it is and how to recognize that importance and why it's so important. As we wrap today, I want you to remember it's Christmas. We give gifts. We give them because we love people. Your story is the greatest gift you have. I invite you to share it. Share it with me. Contact me here. Share it with those you love. Share it with yourself. How you have developed and become the person you are today is the most valuable truth that you own and the most powerful and fastest way to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.